1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? That's really the focus of the text of what we're dealing with. What type of body will we have? Because the Lord, in this particular passage, he deals with the fact that, first of all, Paul's saying concerning the Lord, there's no doubt about it, he's risen from the dead. There were different beliefs that existed here in the church in Corinth. They were infiltrated by Gnostics. Gnostics did not believe that there was a resurrection or that there would be an immortal body that would be given. They believed that everything was in a spiritual realm and that was all there was to it. And then, of course, the Sadducees had influenced them. We know from Acts 23:8, the Bible says, for the Sadducees say there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. You probably heard it preached that the Pharisees didn't believe in the resurrection. They did believe in the resurrection. But it's different how they believe from how we believe, or should I say how I believe. You may not agree with everything that I'm saying tonight, but you can develop your premise from the Word of God. It's not yet happened, but I do know that he said in the Word that he didn't want us to be ignorant concerning these things. So then there were some that were coming and saying the resurrection had already taken place. So they had three false doctrines inside of this church that they're trying to deal with. And he first builds the premise, if Christ be not risen from the dead, our faith is in vain. And he says, and he said, our preaching is in vain. If Christ be not risen from the dead, we're of all men most miserable. We have no hope, because without the resurrection, then there is no hope. And what do we have to look forward to? The grave would be the end of it. But the grave is not the end of it. So then they ask, really, this is two questions, but it's two questions, but it's two questions in one. They're talking about the same thing, really. They're saying, can a person be raised up? And if they are raised from the dead, with what body do they come? And then he starts expounding on it. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be. Did you get that? Yeah. What you sow is not what you're going to, the exact same thing you're going to get back. And he explains it to us here in these verses, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies, and bodies terrestrial, heavenly bodies and earthly bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Sunday morning we dealt a little bit with the spiritual body. It is both supernatural and supranatural. And there is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that which was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is of the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, so are they also. They are earthy. And as it is heaven, is the heavenly, so are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall, what's the next words? All be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall what? Be changed. Now, it's interesting when we think about this spiritual body that we have, are going to receive from the Lord. He's telling us that it's the same, but it's not the same. It's me, but it's not me. And he goes to the extent of saying, as we've borne the image of the earthy, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly. He expounds that we'll know as we are known. I left you with that on Sunday. We realize all of that. But let me ask you a question. This body returns to the dust from which it came. Ecclesiastes 12:7 teaches that. But the spirit goes back to God, which gave it. The Bible says in Corinthians, in fact, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So we know on Sunday we decided, as we studied the word together, that the body is a picture of someone that's asleep. And the soul and the spirit go back to God, which gave it. You realize that he told us that the first Adam was a living soul, but the last Adam is a quickening spirit. We're made alive in him. The believers have their soul, spirit, with the Lord when they leave, and their body goes back to the dust from whence it came. You're there, you can do what you want to the body. And that brings up a lot of questions. People ask me constantly about cremation. Don't say they never ask you. They ask everyone about it. I think they're so worried about being biblically wrong or not right. And I think you miss the whole point of what it is. I think that the early church, the Christians, you know why they buried and not cremated? Because that showed, was a sign that they were a Christian in the early church age. Now, it doesn't mean that you're a Christian, because they did that because they were a Christian, because it was the opposite of what the Romans did. The Romans were, they didn't dispose of bodies the way that we dispose of bodies. So since Christ was buried, Christians were buried. That doesn't mean that it's wrong to be cremated. Some people say, well, they're speeding up the process. There's pluses and minuses to both. I'm not here to dictate to you how it happens or what you decide to do. I think you're missing the whole point. The point is, what's going to happen when the Lord comes? I mean, I would like to have a funeral. And I would like there to be a body in the casket. But I'm going to be plain with you. If I was in Twin Towers on 9/11, they'd have a casket, but they probably wouldn't have me inside of it. What happened to those people that were believers? What happens to the body when it goes back to the dust from whence it came? What kind of a body will you say? Well, you said we'll be the same. Yeah, but which me? Well, if you're 85, do you want a body in heaven like you got now? Let me put it this way. Has your body changed any in your lifetime? Candy and I was looking through some pictures the other day. We were looking through these pictures, and I said, what happened to those young people? We couldn't believe how much we changed. And then I saw some of you, and I could not believe how much you have changed. It's amazing what 35 years can do to us and 40 years can do to us, but we're in a changing process. So I guess what I'm saying, if you picked, what would you pick? The truth of the matter is, you don't get a say. See, God gave life. He's the giver of life, And this text teaches us he's the giver of bodies. No bodies, no two bodies are alike. I look across this crowd and I don't see another me here anywhere tonight. Every one of you, you have the image of God. I have the image of God, but we're all different bodies. So I'm saying it'll be the same, but it'll be different in this respect. It'll be different because this body is sown in weakness, but the spiritual body is sown in power. This body is sown with no honor, but the spiritual power will be raised in honor. This body, you know, it's a mortal body. It's going to die, but my new body will be raised with immortality. And the difference between Adam and our new body, the first Adam, he had conditional immortality. When he sinned, then all of a sudden the immortality was gone. But when we get to heaven, the immortality that we have, when we get our new body one day, then we'll never have to worry about facing the enemy of death ever again. For he shall rule until he hath put all enemies underfoot. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is the enemy of death. So I'm saying this. He'll give you the right body. The spiritual body, it'll bear resemblance of this body. Jesus still had scars. But yet on the other hand, there'll be no imperfections at the same time. I don't know when I was my strongest in my life. I don't know if I will ever reach a point where I'll have any strength that can be compared to the body that I have then, but the Lord is the one that decides. He's the one that gives the bodies. But whatever he chooses for me, thank God I refuse to believe it'll be fat. And I refuse to believe that it'll be sick. And I refuse to believe that it'll ever ache. And I refuse to believe that it'll ever grow old. It'll be me, but it won't be me. You say, how can you explain that? When I was just a little boy, when I was just a child, I crossed the bridge from Ohio over to Kentucky. And when I crossed the bridge, I crossed the Ohio River. Here I am as a grown man. The same water that was flowing through the Ohio River, when I crossed it the first time, not one drop of it is left. It's all gone. It's all crossed over, but you know what? It's still the Ohio River. Every time I cross it, it's still the Ohio River. I'm saying it'll be me, but a new me, a brand new me. Someone said, well, how will God know? How will he know to give us the right kind of body? Well, I'm glad you ask. Psalm 139 and verse 14. The psalmist said, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Now watch. My substance was not hid from thee when I was in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. What's he talking about? When you were in your mother's womb. He knew everything about you. Let's get this right, and I'm going to harp on this a lot. When people say, well, life begins at birth. No, life begins at conception. When I could not be seen by my mother, seen by my father, God saw every member and formed every member of my body in the womb. When I was there, God said, I know what you are, and you're becoming what I am making you inside the womb. And more important than that, he looked at us and right then predetermined a plan for our life. That doesn't mean we have to follow it. He'll make us follow it, but Jeremiah makes it plain. When he was in the mother's womb, God had already ordained him. God knew
knew one day he would be a prophet for God. While I was yet in my mother's womb, shaping, there I was. God said, I know my will for your life. My will is to redeem you, redeem your soul, forgive your sins. My will is to one day call you in the ministry to preach the gospel. My will is for one day for you to pastor Rubyville Community Church. God saw all that before my mom and dad ever kissed my forehead or held my hand. Well, glory, God already had me in the hollow of his hand, and God had you in his hands too. And he said, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as it yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Do you know what he's saying? My substance being unperfect. What's unperfect? That little body in the mother's womb. When that child is born, that child will die. Some point in time, that child will follow the sinful nature that's inside of it. You have to teach a child how to sin. You have to teach him how to do right. I was unperfect and you were unperfect, but yet in thy book, all my members were written. You know what God did? God stored in heaven a heavenly DNA for each one of us. Just like your DNA physically right now is not the same as anybody else's. In heaven, God recorded your DNA. God's saying from that record of heaven, we're going to get a new body, but the difference is that body will not be unperfect. That body will be perfect in every way. And one day, this body will go back to the dust from whence it came. How that happens, I don't know how it will happen. I don't know the course of death. But if you're there, you're going to continue to decay. If you're in the grave, you'll continue to decay. But if we have no problem believing God did that the first time, then what's the problem with believing he's going to do it again? And it's because in our mind we're thinking that body's deteriorating. How can that be? It's decaying. Every day that it's there, it's going back to the dust. It's decaying. Let me put it this way. Tim and Diane over here, I can pick on them. They love me. And heaven help, this would happen. But if they went home tonight and their home had burnt to the ground and they lost everything, and you can imagine Diane standing there crying, looking at Tim, saying, Tim, what are we going to do? Their home that they built is now a pile of ashes. Could you imagine Tim looking at her? I know where I'm going, excuse me. And Tim said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take those ashes, and with those ashes, we're going to build back a nicer home, a better home. And she'd say, but Tim, that's just ashes. You can't build anything with ashes. And she would be right, because we can't build anything with ashes. But you bear this in mind. Those people, for example, that died on 9/11, that they never recovered their bodies, and we've got little markers and memorials. I have no idea what happened. I have no idea where that's scattered now with the dust of the earth that was taken away. Some of them undoubtedly were in those truckloads after truckloads. Their bodies had disintegrated and they took them out and dumped them in different places. They could be in landfills. Some could be dumped there in the harbors for all I know. But I tell you one thing, God knows where every particle of dust is. And one day the trumpet's going to sound. And God said, I did it once. I'm going to do it again. And he'll form that dust back together. And out of what has been destroyed and become ashes, he'll build us back better than we ever have been. We can't even imagine what he's doing for us. That's the promise of God's word. Hallelujah. We got to get that new body to go to a new place. Now, God willing, on Sunday morning, I'm going to try to deal a little bit with the new heaven, but I couldn't help but just dabble a little bit with it tonight. We get that new body, and now we're going to heaven. What will heaven be? Well, I know one thing. It'll be beautiful beyond description. I couldn't help but think, I jotted down some things. Think about a place. No payments, no upkeep, no security system, no pest control, no utilities. The Lamb will be the power source. Weather will always be just right. I can't wait to tell you a little bit about what God's put in my sanctified imagination from his word. About what it will be like and what John saw in that place. But he's saying it's going to be beautiful. There'll be hues and colors like we've never seen before. Gold and silver and pearls and precious stones. Everything that we have valued here. Gold, which is such a valuable commodity to people in that day. It'll be so pure. It'll be transparent. We'll be able to walk on it. Oh, my friend, what a time it'll be. You all heard about the fellow that had the dream and he'd spent his whole life hoarding up gold. And he asked the Lord, why won't you let me take it with me? And finally, one night in a dream, he said he dreamed that he went to heaven and he had that gold in both hands. And the Lord looked at him and said, what did you bring that pavement up here for? That's what we walk on up here. Thank God there is a better place to go. Beauty beyond words. A beautiful place. That's why in the middle of death, I still get excited because I know the grave is not the end. There's something better for the child of God. A wonderful, beautiful place called heaven. Heaven will be beautiful. It'll be eternal. Oh, glory to God. Lasts forever. You ever think about this? Let me ask. How many of you have had to move in your lifetime? Get your hands up. Come on, stay with me. How many of you have moved more than once? How many of you moved more than twice in your lifetime? Average American moves 11.7 times in their lifetime. That's how many times. Can you imagine moving in a place and never moving out? Praise God. We'll move in, we'll never move out. It'll be eternal. Last forever and ever. Not one thing in our home will last. I promise you. The roof will wear out. The heating system will go bad. The walls will need painted. The flooring will need replaced. Not one thing will last forever. But I'm going to a home that'll be eternal. That it'll last and last and last and last. And while the ages roll, it'll be just as new a million years from that day that we enter in as the very day that we arrive. It'll still be new. For he said, I make all things new. It'll not only be beautiful, it'll not only be eternal, but it'll be personal. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you.
you. I venture to say there's no two people in this sanctuary tonight that when it comes to your home, no two people that like exactly the same thing. You ever flip through that HGTV? Have you ever said, wow, that's the neatest idea. We ought to do that. Personally, I hate that channel. I'm allowed to hate it. It's from the Antichrist, I really believe. That thing gets me in more trouble. Every new idea, we got to think about it. Then it takes me a long time to talk her out of it. And then lo and behold, they give her another new idea. You know I'm kidding. Isn't it awful we live in such a sensitive world? You got to apologize for laughing about the truth, isn't it? But then every now and then they'll pop up with something on there and you'll say, what are they thinking? You go into different rooms and in different homes and it'll be different decor, different styles, different colors. Are you listening to what I'm telling you? Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Do you know what that means? I don't think it's going to be cookie cutter mansions. I think it'll be your mansion. I think when you walk inside of it, Arlene, I think you'll look around and you'll say, this is me. This is everything I like. This is everything I ever wanted. I can say to Candy, turn on HGTV. Tell Jesus about it, he'll build it. You think about it. It'll be personal. It'll be the colors that we like. It'll be the size that we like. It'll be made out of the components that we like. Oh, what a beautiful place. It's not just the mansion. It's that the mansion will be built for you. Just for you. If he built this world in 6 days and created man, what's our mansion going to look like? Go back to the day you were saved. From the very moment you were saved, the building started. Oh, thank God we are going to a place of beauty. It'll be beautiful. It'll be eternal. It'll be personal. That's why you got to get saved. That's when the plans are approved in heaven and the construction starts. I go to prepare a place for you. Think about this before I close. Think of how much somebody would have to love you to do that for you. Well, let me bring it down in terms that you can understand. Let's say for the sake of argument, there was a wealthy person in this church and you never owned a home and you never had a place to call yours. And one day you're riding down the road together and you point to this house and you say, I'd give anything to have a house like that. And all of a sudden there's a knock on the door a week or two later. A courier brings an envelope and inside are keys. And the keys have a little note attached that says, here's the keys to the home that you loved. I think you probably agree with me. They sure must love you. They love you more than I love you. I've never bought you a home. And I love you. But I mean, you think about it. They sure must love you to do something like that. Can I remind you? He sure must love us. to give us a home eternal in heaven. Beautiful. Personal. It's got your name on it. It's your house number. It's your place. And all you have to do is say, sign me up. You say it's too good to be true. That's what I've been trying to tell you for over 30 years around here. It is too good to be true. I know it sounds too good to be true, but thank God it is. And when you come just as you are and repent of your sins and ask him to forgive you, that's exactly what he'll do. He'll change your life. And he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I come, go away, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Thank God this world is not our home. We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up yonder, somewhere beyond the blue. We're going home, a better place, a perfect land, a perfect body, a spiritual body in a brand new land that Jesus has gone to prepare. And he did it for you. Somebody right now ought to just stop for 1 minute. Look right up to heaven and say, thank you for loving me that much. Thank you for loving me that much. Oh, bless his name. I tell you, I think we ought to take about a 5 minute recess and shout it out tonight. Thank God there is a better place and there is a better land. Your old house may need repaired. It may be falling in, but you remember, this is not all there is to it. The best is yet to come. He promises that in his word.